Hello, brothers and sisters of the simulation. Let us give thanks to the programmer for coding such a beautiful and incredible tapestry of life and matter of which we were a part, unfortunately entwined, or fortunately entwined, depending on the kindness of the programmer and, of course, our ability to switch our operating systems so that we can grasp the truth that there is an infinite abundance that exists in this wonderful Garden of Eden that is waiting for you to harvest it by sending out love energy into the universe instead of being a steaming pile of human dog shit comprised of 90% selfishness and 10% insecurity. You can, in the same way that a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly, if you are a turd, you can melt yourself down and reform yourself in the form of something so beautiful and incredible that the fact that it started off as a turd seed will seem impossible. And this is the great miracle of human existence, that human turds are butterfly seeds, as Buddha once said when he was having withdrawals from alcohol and was having delirium tremens. The Duncan Trussell Family Hour is a proud member of the Feral Audio Podcast Network. I don't know how I've managed to not announce or talk about Feral Audio. I should be talking about it in every single episode of this podcast because it is on the cutting edge of podcast networks. It's an artist-friendly art collective. Nobody's tied down to contracts, and it's badass. It's all put together by my dear friend Dustin Marshall, and you should go check it out at feralaudio.com. A lot of great shows on there. Weird Adults with Lil Esther is hilarious. You might have heard my recent controversial appearance on that show. My pal Johnny Pemberton has an incredible show on there called Twisting the Wind. Matt Dwyer, who's been a guest on the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, has an incredible show where he's interviewed Black Panthers. There's a lot of great stuff going on at Feral Audio. Go check it out, please, and download and subscribe to all the podcasts there to help the network out.
Because we all rise together.
I had this mini realization where I was chanting in my car and feeling weird because I haven't meditated in a few days. And then I realized that the reason that I haven't been meditating is because I feel like I'm meditating for the wrong reasons. This is one of the saddest ways that people avoid meditating or praying or chanting or whatever you want to call it, is they think, well, you know, I don't want to do that because I'm just doing it for attention, or I don't want to do that because I'm doing it because it would make me look cool, or I don't want to do that because, you know, if I was gonna chant, or if I was going to try to engage in any kind of activity, it would just be for my own benefit, to get rich. You know, maybe it would give me some more focus, or maybe it would give me more sparkle, which would help my business. And so they don't do it, thinking that they're going to wait to meditate until some amazing illuminated moment comes over them, and suddenly they're like, today is the day that I want to selflessly commune with God. Like, they're waiting to turn into fucking Saint Anthony, or they're waiting to turn into a saint. But once you've turned into a saint, that's probably the only time that you really don't need to meditate, because that's all you've become, is a constant state of meditation. It's like standing in front of your shower covered in mud, waiting for the mud to dry and flake off before you get in the shower. We start meditating and we start going down the path towards evolution, because we're fucking filthy, generally. You know, we're confused. Why wouldn't we be? We're scattered. Our minds are flying around like a great flock of freakish crows. And a great percentage of that flock of crows is probably thinking about very animalistic things. Disgusting things. Angry things. Weird things. creepy things. Happy things are in there too. But the whole point is that if you're gonna wait for that fucking flock of loony thought birds to sit in the branches of your neurons and sing some harmonious symphony, you're gonna be waiting for a very long time. The birds don't stop flying, tweeting, shrieking, screaming. It goes on like that forever. And so if you have some reason to start meditating, even if it's the most selfish, stupid reason of all time, maybe you think it'll help get rid of your wrinkles, or maybe it'll give you a social edge. Whatever the reason is, it's the right reason. Just do it. Listen to that reason. That reason, your desire, is the way that the universe communicates with you. It's the envelope from the universe being decoded by your mind. Sometimes the envelope is horny. Sometimes your desires seem base and inhumane, crazy, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just start the conversation. Start the practice. No matter how vile you think you are, no matter how deplorable or abominable or crazy or bored or lazy or skeptical you think you are, you have nothing to lose by just trying to chant or to meditate. One of my favorite verses in the Bhagavad Gita goes, even, and I'm going to probably fuck up the translation, but even the vilest, this is, you know, the Godhead speaking. The, if you don't want to call it God, if you don't want to attach God to it, which I understand, you can call it the place of ultimate perfection that can possibly exist in all time and space. Whatever you want to call it, you've come up with a great name for it, but the verse is, even the vilest of criminals, if their mind is absorbed in me, will cross over the ocean of Maya as easily as a person stepping over a puddle. So, you know, if you, the point is, turn your eyes towards the even if you're at the bottom of the deepest fucking hole there is, why not turn your eyes to that tiny little dot of light up there at the top of that fucking pit? It's got to be better to look at that than the darkness. And the difference between looking at this this incredible idea or transcendent structure, the difference between looking at that and looking at the light when you're at the bottom of a pit is that this thing will come towards you. There's nothing I love more than to meditate when I'm high. That's another fucking thing. People act like you've got to go into like a 3-day cleanse before you can meditate. But you can meditate stoned. You can meditate drunk. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. It's nothing worse than hearing a slur in your voice when you're chanting, but creates some nice dissonance there. But marijuana and chanting, wow, it's the best. And if you find yourself having like a difficult trip, chanting is a great way of shifting the energy. And also, they say when you're dying, it's a great thing to help overcome the great rush of fear that can spring up before your body releases whatever chemicals calms you down. But it's great all around. It's great in traffic. But the whole point is, don't wait to do this until you're like fine. Or whatever you think fine is going to be for you. Or don't wait to, don't think, okay, you know, I'm going to stop, you know, cheating on my wife and then I'm going to start meditating. Or I'm going to stop heroin and then I'm going to start meditating. Or I'm going to stop stealing from my boss and then I'm going to start meditating. Or I'm going to, whatever the thing is that you perceive as being the most awful thing any human has done in the history of all time and space, don't wait to stop that activity to start meditating. Like, take the fucking medicine now. It's worth it. And by the way, if it doesn't work, then don't do it anymore. It's like these opening monologues. If you just want to go straight to the interviews, just go to the fucking interviews. You really have nothing to lose. You can chant. I chant Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. 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 My voice is raspy, a raspy lesbian voice. Some people, when they chant, it sounds very beautiful. I've got to listen to that fucking thing over and over again. But it doesn't matter because when you do it, you know, it'll. Ram Dass talks about how the chanting will kind of mimic the mood that you're in. So, you know, if I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I'm in a shitty, weird, hung up, hurried mood, then it's like Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's like fast auctioneer style, because that's how fast my thoughts are going. My state of being in a hurry has actually managed to work its way into my meditation, of course. But then the more you do it, it'll start slowing down. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whatever the thing is you do. And this you can do your whole life. Comes and goes. It just gives you something to do when you're in line that's a little bit more interesting than checking your cell phone. And you can check your cell phone and still chant. You can be in the midst of some kind of terrible situation, and in your mind, you're chanting. I believe Neem Karoli Baba chanted, who is Ram Dass's guru, chanted Ram, 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 Ram. It's cool. It's got the om in it. Kind of sounds like a little bit of that nitrous oxide sound, weird sound that happens when you try nitrous oxide. Regardless, there's so many great chants out there for you to pick from. Try it. Give it a shot. See if it works. A lot of great books on chanting and on meditating. Meditation is a lot like fellatio. It's two words that in no way represent the thing that they're talking about. Fellatio, the Latin root of fellatio is to suck. And the blowjobs, sucking is definitely one of the ingredients, but that's like calling, saying the ingredients of chicken soup or water in a chicken. There's a lot of other stuff that goes into chicken soup. It's a lot more interesting. If someone's has a menu and says, would you like a blowjob or fellatio? You're going to take the blowjob. The fellatio sounds like they're removing some kind of cyst from inside of you. Well, meditation, as far as I know, doesn't have like another awesome word for it. I mean, someone needs to come up with a cool fucking word. Zapping or something. I don't know. There's got to be a better word for it. It sounds boring. Sounds like something that happens in the middle of a chemistry class. And the root of meditation is to think. Which it really is not. You're thinking all the time no matter what. It's more of like, well, there's a million different meditative paths. Check them out. Chogyam Trungpa, any book by Ram Dass. There's some great books on Zen. Thich Nhat Hanh, you could check him out. He's one of my favorites. But there's a lot of different ways to like play around with your states of consciousness. There are a lot of different methods that you'll be attracted to one or the other. Just try it out. Why not, huh? Come on, guys. Let's meditate. Because maybe if you start, I'll start. It could be interesting. I'm just talking to myself. I haven't meditated in a couple of days. I feel a little guilty for that, which is stupid. The Duncan Trussell Family Hour has a new sponsor that we are very excited about. Datsura Bags, located on the internet at dsgear.com. These bags are woven from hemp. They have the look of something that would be worn by a ninja invading a tower to stab an emperor in the night. They're super cool and they're super tough. These bags are guaranteed. DS Gear Datsura guarantees that if you have to transport a vampire baby in the day because you have to leave your lair to go to a new lair because a vampire has discovered where you're living, you can put the baby in this bag and it will not ignite. And that cannot be said. That promise is not made by any other bag company on the planet. If your fucking bag gets immolated by a vampire baby because some photons got into the thing when you were transporting the tot to a new underground coffin, dsgear.com, Datsura Bags will either refund your money or give you a new bag. You just have to show video of the event happening from when you put the baby in the bag to when the bag ignites. So there's more information about that on their website somewhere. These bags are super tough. They're hardy bags. I imagine a vampire baby exploding inside of one of them wouldn't affect it. In fact, I think that if the citizens of Hiroshima had been wearing these bags when the atomic bomb went off, there would be a lot of bags laying on top of the shadows that got burnt into the ground. They're excellent bags. Check them out. DSgear.com. If you're looking for a new backpack, duffel bag, something to carry your picnic supplies and butt plugs out into the forests, these are the bags for you. And not just for butt plugs, for any kind of plugs. Electrical plugs, all types of plugs, transporting your money from one safe house to the next. Whatever you need, these bags are the bags for you. DSgear.com. Check it out. We're also sponsored by Audible.com. Audible offers some of the finest audiobooks known to man, narrated by Shakespearean actors. Don't let your inner monologue read to yourself. That's horrible. Your voice is not meant for reading. Your voice is meant for singing and telling people that you love them or for ordering food. Let a Shakespearean actor read to you. Why wouldn't you do that? These people are trained to read. It'll keep you on the treadmill. It'll let you hit that 7-mile mark. Go to audibletrial.com/familyhour and you will get a free audiobook if you sign up for a trial membership. And if you don't like Audible or you don't like your audiobook, you can cancel it. But you're going to love your audiobook because they're so romantic. So many wonderful romance audiobooks that you can listen to. My gym doesn't like it when I listen to certain Audible audiobooks because the narrators are so good that I start weeping. I start crying and the tears rust the treadmills. So I only listen to action novels or documentary style novels, biographies or histories when I'm on the treadmill. Regardless, they have a huge selection. That you'll find something there that you love. Go to audibletrial.com/familyhour, sign up, and I get $15. To all of you who've been sending me amazing stuff, thank you for your books. I'm going to have to split into two people or really figure out a speed read to get through some of these books that you guys have been sending me. But please keep them coming because I do skim. And also to the Thelemite out there that sent me this hardcore Aleister Crowley print, send a manual of that stuff next time. If you've imbued magic into anything that you send me, it's the same thing as giving me a piece of candy that's got weed in it. You've got to tell me the stuff has got the juju in it. Because I tried to put the Crowley picture up and immediately stuff started falling off my shelf. So let me know, Thelemite that sent me that, exactly where to put it and what I'm supposed to do to make it happy. Because I do not need any more ghosts in my place. I got locked in the bathroom yesterday. 2 days ago because the doorknob fell off and friends had to come rescue me. It was really embarrassing. Don't need more ghosts. And of course, the Duncan Trussell Family Hour is sponsored by the geniuses at Shore Design T-Shirts. These people are amazing. They're gnomes that exist down a lava tube that is in Antarctica. In the center of the earth is a beautiful paradise filled with super advanced beings that spend the majority of their time engaged in mushroom orgies where they splatter their semen, they ejaculate onto canvases that they strap on the backs of their lovers. And they can use mind control to change the color of their sperm, sometimes black, white, green. Anyway, their designs are beautiful. They're incredible designs that once they dry on these canvases, these earth crow flies them up in bundles to a factory where gnomes take the canvases and paint them on the back of angel wings, which are run through a press, and that's what these shirts come from. They're beautiful. They consist of designs that are the ejaculate of our reptilian fathers. incredible shirts. They'll make you the hit of your yoga studio, beach party, or funeral. Go to shoredesigntshirts.com, and if you put my name in, you get 10% off. I sort of sandwiched another advertisement in between me thanking you guys, so sorry about that. But thank you, and thank you for those of you who donate. Thank you to those of you who join the forum and are keeping that thing alive, and to all of those of you who are meeting up in different parts of the world. If you're lonely and you want to rub meat bodies with somebody, people on the forum are very active, and they meet up and have awesome conversations, and hopefully they're humping. I don't know. But go to DuncanTrussell.com, join the forum. If you feel like donating, click on the donate button. If you want to buy some stickers or posters or shirts, there's a shop there, so go check that out. And if you don't want to do any of that stuff and just want to listen to the podcast in peace without having to move at all, I respect that, and I love you too. So thank you for existing. This episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour happened is pure synchronicity and novelty. I met somebody today whose name is Gene. He runs a marijuana delivery service, which you can check out at laspeedweed.com or on Twitter at laspeedweed. But he's got a really amazing business model, and he's a super cool guy, and he's this new hybrid activist slash entrepreneur slash revolutionary that has resulted from the marijuana prohibition, or the end of the marijuana prohibition, and the way it's manifesting in the form of the new medicinal marijuana laws and all the craziness going on with the dispensaries here in LA. He's an awesome guy, so everybody please send out your deepest heart love to my new friend, Gene. Welcome, Gene. Can't say his last name.
I work in the medical marijuana industry. I am an entrepreneur that is helping patients heal themselves.
And you have your business seems to be pretty unique. I've heard of these types of businesses, of course, illegal versions of them, but your business delivers weed all over LA.
We do. We're all over LA. But first off, we are a nonprofit business. We operate under a 501c, and that's important. We take care of our patients and try and keep it as inexpensive for them to get their meds as possible. And we deliver all over LA, from all the way from Pasadena out to Malibu, and then all the way down to beach towns, all the way down to Seal Beach and out to just about Anaheim.
How many drivers do you have?
Right now, we're operating at about 11 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's a lot. What kind of cars do you guys drive?
Well, they're all regular, unmarked cars. You wouldn't know any different from any other car on the road. We do have some motorcycle drivers as well.
See, man, this is the problem of the part of the dimension of this part of the multiverse we're living in, is that you guys have to drive around in unmarked cars. Like, the multiverse I want to live in is where there's a special 911 that you can call when you run out of weed or mushrooms.
420, you got to dial.
Or psychedelics, and they have sirens on the car or some kind of like...
Well, we would like to get a car that has one of those wraps on it that you could have your logo and everything on. But, of course, we know it'll be pulled over all the time, so it could never be transporting anything. It could just be an mobile advertisement for us.
So you guys, it's insane. So you guys drive around L.A. delivering marijuana to cannabis patients. And that's still a risky job. Like, if they get pulled, it's not like pizzas. If they get pulled over, it's going to be a massive inconvenience.
There still is some risk involved. Now, every one of my drivers is legal. They are also a patient. We only hire from within our patient base. And then secondly, everything that they're ever carrying is never over their own personal limit.
Right.
So they'll never have any trouble as far as... being pulled over and going to jail for anything. There's nothing illegal about it, but it could be a big inconvenience. A police officer has the discretion to choose if he wants to look at a doctor's recommendation and agree to it. That is not a legal document. That's only a recommendation. That police officer is not a judge. He's not there to decide what and what isn't legal. He knows that someone has marijuana. It's his discretion whether to bring them in or not over that.
So that sucks. So how often have you had problems with cops? Has that happened yet?
It hasn't, and there's because there's a second level that you can... there's something else that you could do to protect yourself. You could have your driver or you as a patient can register with the Department of Health Services. And if you register with the Department of Health Services, you get a DHS card. It costs about $250.
Right.
And that allows a police officer who pulls you over to actually look you up. Now, a lot of patients don't want to be in any databases or government databases or anything like that. And under HIPAA laws, if you have a doctor's recommendation, you are not in a database at all besides your own doctors. However, if you do register for that DHS card, you are now in the government database, but you are also protected. So a person like me or my drivers wants that protection because if they do get pulled over, they could say, look, this is what I do. Here's my DHS card.
Right.
That covers me. What else was I doing wrong? Did I have a broken taillight or anything like that? I only hire good energy people, and I know that I could trust my drivers up and down that they're not going to be doing anything that's going to get them in any kind of trouble for while they're working or otherwise.
Do you guys drug test?
No.
I'm just kidding.
There's no drug test over there.
Man, that is crazy. So it's still, you know, I recently went to a friend's marijuana farm up in Northern California, and beautiful place, man. Beautiful place. He juiced marijuana for me.
It's like a vineyard for most people. The guys like you and me go there, and it's
it was like a vineyard.
Experience.
And those plants, they have like... their own specific type of energy to them. So you get into this weird energy field when you get around giant marijuana plants in a field. I don't know what it is. It's like, it reminds me of like normal birds, like when you compare normal birds and to parrots. Like when you get around a parrot, it's like, this is more than just a bird. This fucking thing's smart.
And it'll bring all your senses alive. You get the smell, and even walking around, you'll want to reach out and touch those plants.
Yeah.
How often are you reaching out and touching plants? You're never doing that when you're just walking, doing a hike, and you know, running a canyon. But
let me hold your tomato plant.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to hug a tomato plant.
Yeah, when someone says, I got tomatoes out back, you go, oh, yeah, that's great.
Great.
But if they did have a marijuana farm, you want to go back.
You want to go and see.
You want to look. You want to stroll around. It's
cool. It's beautiful.
It attracts people right to it, for sure.
Yes. Now, but here's the thing. Even in the midst of that beauty and complete tranquility and... peacefulness, there's this inescapable paranoia that comes from a lifetime of conditioning by the federal government to think that plant is in some way evil, or that plant does not belong on Earth, or that plant does not belong inside human beings. So it's a very strange thing to meet you, a really cool guy who's just running an awesome, efficient business, a delivery service. It's badass. It was quick. Your website's simple. And it was better than like Bank of America. When I go there to try to do chats with people, it takes forever. So it's weird to me to even engaged in something so fucking honest and cool and something that really does heal people. You're, in the eyes of the federal government, a criminal.
Sure. You know, and it's important for us to recognize that and make sure we do every single thing possible to stay within the letter of the law for California State. Now, that doesn't mean that the federal government can't come in and decide to prosecute us. However, we do not grow over a federal amount. We never have on hand more than we would be able to be charged with federally,
right,
that anyone is going to prison or anything like that, because we want to stay within the law specifically for California, because
right.
that's what we have to live by while we're here. We're libertarians. We feel that states' rights should trump federal rights, but of course that's a political debate.
Yeah,
and
well, certainly in this case, it's for sure. I mean, if suddenly some state decided they wanted to reinstate slavery or something like that, I think that's where the federal government can lend a hand, even though that would never happen. It's a theoretical idea. I can see in very extreme cases where there is the necessity for a conglomeration of states to step in and be like, you guys know what? You can't start a chain of fast food that serves baby meat. It's no good. I'm sorry. As much as you want to be the baby meat state, we have to come in and stop this. But you're not serving chopped up, diced babies in burgers.
Sure.
You're delivering a plant.
Well, if the states that did have medical marijuana got together as a conglomerate, it would be a decent amount of states. I think that we're at 16 now with fully that have medical marijuana legalized.
Right.
One other thing I want to say about the federal government is that we again operate differently than a lot of the delivery services that are out there. We make sure that we follow, we pay our taxes. We make sure
right.
that we follow everything that we need to as a nonprofit organization. You know, the best thing that you can do is to just prepare yourself that if you do wind up in the worst situation ever and you are being prosecuted by the federal government and railroaded, that you could just say, look, I did everything that the government said I should do. What else could I have done? So why am I in this situation? And more than likely, that's not a it's harder to pursue a case against someone who tried to prepare the correct
right.
way. There are plenty of people operating illegally still, which I don't agree with. You know,
well, they're fucking it up for everyone else, aren't they?
Exactly. And that's why we have that this problem specifically in L.A. So L.A. put a ban recently on all medical marijuana dispensaries. And the reason was they said it's a blight on the community, and that a lot of places aren't operating legally. And a lot of places have people smoking outside where their kids have to walk by and smell it. Now, for people who want medical marijuana to stay where it is and only come closer and closer to legalization, I don't want that. I don't support those kind of dispensaries that let people in that don't have their medical card or
right.
that are smoking out front where kids are going by. I don't want that. I want a definition of the law, and I will follow it to the T. So you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and just say, let's shut down for every patient here that needs medical marijuana. No one could get it just because of those few bad apples. Instead, let's clean up those bad apples and give us some guidelines to follow, and we will follow them.
Right.
And I think that's the most important part, that we're in a gray area of the law, and they can't make a definition of what it should be. They expect that if they... this ban goes through, that as a medical marijuana patient, you should grow your own. Well, that takes 4 months at the least.
Yes.
And to grow medical grade marijuana is one of the hardest things possible to do. It's not like growing a chia pet, you know.
My friend was explaining it to me. They treat it like Kobe beef.
Of course.
They're practically like massaging the plants. They sing to the plants. They don't let people around the plants who are in a bad mood. They like do weird shit. They spray it with, I don't know, man, unicorn dust. They like gnomes run by with chimes, ringing
sure.
the chimes. And then they fucking take it to dry it. They put it in a bag. I didn't know that they mm-hmm. did this. Some kind, mm-hmm. what's it called? Burping?
Yep.
You have to like put the weed in a bag and then every 6 hours gas it out or something.
Sure. Cause that's what, when you cure it, what happens is, when you have that closed up, it will heat up. So you
right.
also need to open it up and, kind of let some air flow into it as well while it's curing and drying.
Right.
Yeah. But like you were saying before, up at that farm where you feel the energy, it's a two-way street. You got to have them in a good environment as well. I mean, that plant will survive. That's why it's called a weed. It'll grow no matter what. However, the quality of what you of your end product is going to go is going to be determined by what environment it was grown in the entire time.
And you got to keep him happy. He was showing me one. He's like, that one's sad. We don't know why. And it's like drooping down. Looks like someone hurt its feelings or something. They're sensitive plants. I know if you've never been around a bunch of weed, we probably sound, well, no matter what, we're going to sound like hippies. But
a magic garden. That's what you expect.
Yeah. But it really is a very different kind of plant. You can't just grow it. And also, it's not fair. I mean, I know a great deal of us, some of the reasons that we have our prescriptions are not necessarily like stage 4 cancer. But some people, you can't ask somebody who is in a tremendous amount of pain because of some neurological disorder or cancer. You can't be like, yeah, now be a fucking farmer. You have 4 months left to live. Here's an idea. Grow your own pot as you're dying. Like,
sure.
How are you going to worry about watering a plant when you feel like your fucking insides are melting out because you're in so much pain? These fucking demonic cunts. How dare they say that sick people have to grow their own fucking plants? And I know not all of us are like, many of us are capable of doing that, but still, the end result and the kind of net and in a big net like that is you end up hurting a group of people who don't want to take the fucking white powders that get jammed into their goddamn nervous systems by the pharmaceutical companies who are the fucking reason that this shit's illegal in the first place. And then you're having to drive around and with a little bit of paranoia for being a plant delivery person. Sure. You're like someone who delivers fucking flowers.
Same thing.
Literally delivering flowers.
That's what it's called. We always call it flowers. And, we are, again, sure to stick to, is we call it donations because no one buys or sells anything. When any money exchanges for our gas and our time, and when I go meet a patient, I find out what their needs are, and I say, well, this would be a little better for you, or this strain would be a little better for you, depending on what your illness is and what you're medicating for. Some people are medicating for mental issues, which there are certain strains that are going to be better for to relax someone mentally or to help them creatively.
What are those strains? Can you explain that, the difference between indica and sativa and hybrids?
Sure. A lot of people think that it just is opposite from each other, that indicas bring you down and sativas bring you up. It's not exactly that. There are a few properties in marijuana that affect your body. You have your THC, which gives you that mind high. That's what affects you mentally. And then you have your CBD, which gives you that body high, that relaxation. So indicas specifically are higher in CBD. So they give you more of that body relaxation than sativas do.
Right.
Now, that but they still have a 20 to 24% THC level if it's a high-end
40%.
20 to 24 is typical.
Oh, I thought you said 40. I didn't realize
40
that.
Would be a concentrate.
Right.
But if you find someone who has 40%, I'm willing to take a spin on that.
Well, you guys heard it first. You heard it. What's the website?
It's laspeedweed.com.
There you go.
Yep.
Come on, mad scientists out there have some kind of invasion of the body snatcher style death weed that you're growing in your basement, you know how to contact.
We want it for sure. Our patients certainly want it. Typically you would get a 20 to 24% THC level in your high end indicas and sativas. So it's not that a sativa has more THC, it just has less CBD. So you don't get as much of the body high.
Gotcha.
But you're still getting the mind high in both of them. So it's not, again, it's not one or the other.
Gotcha. So when you smoke an indica, it's the exact same thing as, it's like basically sativa is almost decaffeinated weed, except the thing that's removed isn't caffeine. It's this I don't know. It's not really a depressant. Would it be categorized? What's it called? What's the initials for it?
CBD.
CBD. Would it be categorized as a depressant? What is that? That feeling is so specific. It's such a weird, buttery, lethargic.
I would personally classify it that way. For myself, if I'm medicating during the day, I don't want too much CBD because I have to work, and it's important for me to be able to have function at a high level throughout my entire day. Now, that said, at in the evening when I'm slowing down and ready to relax for the evening, I do want a heavy indica so I could slow on down and get to bed.
CBD, what it does to me is it turns my Xbox into a neutron star for my attention. I can't avoid video games. The problem with indicas for me is if I smoke an indica, it's like no matter what my grand idea was that I was going to do, I'm going to end up playing Skyrim or jerking off to porn or both at the same time, and then I'm going to take a nap. The reason I like sativas, and that's only what I smoke, is because it creates more of a caffeinated, creative high that's excellent for writing. It's really good for exercising.
Sure.
So indicas seem like they're more for people who are in a lot of pain or have anxiety disorders or something.
Absolutely. And it also, that said, it is also individual for each person. Some people will still want... I have so many patients that say, I only smoke OGs. I only smoke OGs. And the reason why is they like that high CBD level, but when they're smoking a high-end OG, they're still going to get a high THC percentage. So they're still going to get they're going to get that same mental feeling that they're looking for, as well as getting the big pain moderator.
Right.
So people who aren't doing pain moderation or have bad joint pain, like myself, that aren't looking for anti-inflammatory, because cannabis has anti-inflammatory properties.
Yes.
Which really help people, especially with arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, any kind of, if you were an athlete, and ever injured yourself and have the type of injury that always hurts your knees or your joints, anywhere, smoking cannabis is going to help, relieve that, because it is an anti-inflammatory.
Right.
And you get that heavier with your indicas than you do with your sativas. So if you're not medicating for pain, then sativas probably are your best bet.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. Now, if you take ibuprofen, this is an anti-inflammatory drug. Mm-hmm. What people don't understand is that stuff gets stuck in your body for a long time. You can't just take that. Your body doesn't process that in the same way it processes organic anything.
Right. There's no ibuprofen part of your body. No receptors for ibuprofen, but there are cannabis receptors.
Right. And this is where things, to me, get incredibly satanic and diabolic. And if I'm in a really dark, paranoid place, if I'm or I'm teetering on going over into a paranoid, awful mushroom trip, usually the thing that will push me over is when I start thinking, like, wait, so a fucking over-the-counter drug like ibuprofen, which can kill you in large doses and kills people every year. Every year people die from that shit. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's definitely more than weed. Sure. So this fucking drug, I can go and grab a bottle of it, swallow the bottle, leave it on the floor, my dog could eat it, a baby could eat it, and death all around, or paralysis, or I've even heard when people try to commit suicide with that shit, maybe it's Tylenol, but I think it's ibuprofen, it destroys your kidneys.
Yep, shuts them down.
Shuts them down, and they will tell you as you're laying in the hospital bed, sorry, there's nothing we can do. Your kidneys are gone. You're about to die. You're just going to die. There's no way to fix this. So we have a drug, innocuously labeled, easily obtained at any fucking drugstore nearby, that puts people in the emergency room every fucking day.
That a kid could grab off the shelf.
Easily. And they do. We have that. And that's totally fucking fine. People are making so much money from that. But this stuff that you're delivering, you can't overdose from it. You can certainly have, like, you can end up on the 405 and feel like you're in a Mad Max movie because you ate too much and you should have been driving. Mm-hmm. You can certainly, like, go into a paranoid place with it. It's not a perfect drug. No drug is. It's not a perfect medicine, whatever you want to call it. But the point is, it's not killing people. And yet, one is federally illegal and one is so accepted that if you have a bottle of ibuprofen sitting on your table when people come over, they probably won't notice it. But if the wrong person comes over and you have some weed sitting on your table, they're like, well, well, stoner. Or even worse, they're like, you're a drug addict. Sure. Or, you know, so this is satanic to me. And this is the stuff where it really makes me, it puts me in a kind of Orwellian paranoid freak out when I start considering that something is so inarguably wrong and yet still completely supported by the federal government. And some things the federal government does, I understand, it kind of makes sense to me. I can work it out in my head. It's not all evil. But this thing, man, you follow this fucking evil, rotten trail of breadcrumbs into the tyrannical forest of fucking corporate controlled government, and you will find all the proof you need that our laws are being enacted not for the gain or benefit of the people, but for the benefit of the industries that have paid off all the fucking leaders in our government.
And the thing is, we still are left over from the 80s with Nancy Reagan, Say No to Drugs. So
yes.
So middle America still has that fog over them that they would be, a lot of middle America would be the people that would walk in and say, oh, you're a drug addict, you know, because
can't get a job here, sorry, you can't work here, sorry to cut you off.
That's okay. Even though the information is out there and guys like you and me will read the science on it and know that there's truth behind it, a lot of people are ignorant to that and they just think, this is a drug. This is the worst thing in the world for people. People are going to go out and commit crimes. Now, as an American and as an adult, I will be responsible for every crime I commit while I smoke weed or while I do anything.
Right.
Because I'm responsible and I know I won't go out. I won't be that guy on the 405 driving because I don't want to drive illegally. I don't want to medicate and get in a car. I don't want to medicate and commit any crime because I don't want to commit crimes.
Yeah.
And most people who are medical patients, they don't want to commit crimes either.
I want to put things in perspective for people because I don't think the people who listen to my podcast, any of them are anti-marijuana. If they were, it'd be fucking hilarious and weird that they listen to me. But to sort of humanize this issue, my mom has bone cancer, mastitized breast cancer, and now she has bone cancer, and she gets in, it hurts, you know, and so I managed to get some weed to the other side of the country, some tincture, and I was hanging out with her for Christmas, and you know, she's got to take these fucking pain, she doesn't take them because it makes her sick, so she usually just gets in pain, she's just in pain a lot, but I gave her some of this tincture, and man, the shift was so profound, and she was like, this is taking the pain, like for the first time, you could see this relief come over her because it was alleviating the pain in a real way.
And the government would say she's a liar.
And that I'm a fucking drug smuggler for bringing the shit over there. Mm-hmm. And so this is why I have a great deal of anger, and it's not the only reason why, but it's a big part of why I have a great deal of anger about this law and about the fact that the option that we're giving people in this country to deal with the inevitable pain that comes from disease and old age, we're all going to face it. There's no way around that, man. No one's a robot. You're going to get sick and you're going to die. You're going to get old. This is true. And the only option the fucking federal government is giving you to deal with softening the inevitable agony that comes as you get sucked into the fucking void is white goddamn powders created by sociopaths and fucking pharmaceutical companies that could give a fuck about you. That's why it's crazy.
'Cause it's the money machine. You know, they know that there's more money. Big Pharma knows that they are making more money off of their pills because cannabis would take out so many pills. It's not like cannabis would replace Vicodin. You know, it would actually replace Vicodin and a million other drugs. My own mother also has rheumatoid arthritis, but she lives in New York. She can't try medical marijuana. And unfortunately, I'm not going to send anything there because I don't. I know I need to continue doing the good work that we're doing here, and I can't take that risk.
Also, what are you going to do? Have fucking bail your mom out of prison?
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? You're going to fucking mail her weed, and then suddenly, like, you get unlucky, and they fucking track that package back to your mom and smack the fucking handcuffs on your mom with arthritis or my mom with fucking cancer, and they will arrest them.
Sure, and you're not talking about shipping, Breaking Bad style, a train load of tincture there.
No.
You're talking about getting something that's going to ease her pain. It's medicine that could last her months of personal use that would put you in jail federally for years.
Years. Yeah. Fucking years. So that's I get very emphatic about this because I don't think you can. I think it's very important to make sure that people understand the absurdity of these laws in a real humanistic way. Because until people get outraged at how ridiculous and counter life these laws are, then they're not going to change. They're not going to fucking change.
Absolutely. And voting is so important. People don't realize how important it is for us to come out as a community and vote in this what we have going on in LA. The next vote for whether or not LA dispensaries are going to be allowed to stay open is in March. Most people who are medical patients, they don't go out to vote, not even in November. So getting them out in March is going to be hard to do.
Right.
So we really need to spread the word and help people get out there to vote. I would love to see there be some kind of sign-up sheets that we could put at dispensaries to let them get the absentee ballot instead, because you know medical marijuana patients will fill that out while they're sitting on their couch and send it in. However, they might not get out there on that day to vote in big numbers.
You know, man, I think you're probably right, but I remember the last time I've been excited about voting was when they had on the bill to legalize marijuana, and I woke up at like 6 a.m. I was so excited about going to vote to legalize it. And I think it did pretty good. Like people,
it was close.
It was close, man. Do you remember what it turned out?
I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was so close that I know that if more people would have got up, that I know that a lot of people just did not go out to vote, and they said, "Oh, I should have done it. I should have done." I got to be honest. At least more than 50% of my own patients who I've ever had the conversation with said, "I didn't vote for it."
This is very
they voted against it. They didn't vote.
It's very frustrating to me because I think even in the community of people who use marijuana, they haven't allowed their minds to wrap around the gravity of having their states of consciousness modulated by the federal government. I don't think that they've really allowed themselves to understand that. And you don't, it's almost hard to like walk around if you think about that stuff too much, because you need to almost be in a hypnotic trance in certain ways, or you're going to end up with it wearing a tinfoil hat under your fucking hat under your house. But I think there's a nice middle area where you just need to be very clear on the fact that there is a cartel of very successful drug dealers known as pharmaceutical companies, and this cartel has bought off our government. A drug cartel has paid off our government, our federal government, to keep you from feeling the effects of what may be one of the most medicinal plants that exists on this fucking planet. So it's really important to understand that this is a it's not a little issue. It's not an issue for people who have Garfield bongs and lava lamps. This is not an issue for stereotypical Cheech and Chong stoners or that stupid image that is just more brainwashing. this is an issue of personal liberty and an issue of your autonomy as a soul trapped in a meat body in this dimension. It's as important as if the federal government were making it illegal to read certain books.
Sure. And I hate when people try and just compare it to alcohol. Oh, alcohol is legal, so should marijuana. I don't think that's the right argument, because alcohol does not have medicinal use.
Right.
To say that the federal government standpoint is that every single patient is lying about their medicinal use, that they all are just stoners trying to get high.
Yeah.
And to say that to millions of people who really are in pain, like people in our own families and my patients, that to look in the eyes of terminal patients who are telling me that they're eating gummy bears and getting their appetite back and haven't been able to eat in days, but now are eating medicated gummy bears and getting their appetite back, that is the most satisfying feeling you could ever get. It makes you feel like, hey, I just did my grandparents and my parents proud. I'm actually really helping people. You know, I am all, like I said, a libertarian. I'm happy for people to make their own choice on what they want to do with their bodies. However, for the severe medical users that we are helping, that is the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah, man, and it's a yeah, and the fact that you're doing it, because that's the other thing people don't understand, that you're a businessman, and but you're also, there's a lot of other businesses that you can get into. Once you understand how to start a business, there's a lot of other businesses you can do if you have a business mind, and you clearly do. Your fucking website's incredible, man. It's like really like next level. It's like you're clearly on the cutting edge of this new emerging business industry, whatever you want to call it. So that means that if you wanted to, you could be successful in other ways.
Sure.
So the point is, this is a what you're doing is a decision to put yourself in a great deal more risk than most other businesses on the planet, and you deserve to get rewarded for that, man. You deserve to be able to run that type of business without the fear that one day they're just going to take all your shit away from you.
Sure. And, you know, and that's what it boils down to. If that's what happened, and typically that is what happens. They come in, they take all everything. That you have.
And your kids. If you have kids, bye-bye. They'll take your fucking kids away from you.
They will. You know, I do not have kids, so I'm not worried about that. But so if the government did come in and take everything from me, I would just start over and figure out a new way to do it again by whatever letter of the law they want me to follow.
Right.
I will continue to follow it as long as, even if it's under protest, to help our dying patients. You know, I'm not going to tell people, if I have medical marijuana for myself, legally, which I'm allowed to have up to 8 ounces on me at any time, and another patient is with me that is a severe medical patient and terminal, am I not going to share what I have?
All right.
That I have to also answer to a universal law that says what is the right thing to do. I mean, a lot of people don't live that way, but that golden rule will always be true. Treat people the way you want to be treated, because that'll come back to you. And that's why I've been lucky in what I do, I think, and been successful in what I do, because I try and give out that good, positive energy, and I get it back from all of our patients. We don't have patients that are, kids just looking to get high. That's not really our patient base at all. Our patient base is heavily medical users. Now, again, as a libertarian, if that's what they want to do, as long as they have their doctor recommendation, I'm happy to provide it for them, because
sure,
they followed every step of the law just like we did.
Yeah, and here's the thing, man. And I know that because of the nature of the business, like the and the focus goes on people who are sick, people who are using it for physical maladies. But from my perspective, another absurdity in the fact that marijuana is illegal is that currently, to be allowed to use it, you have to be sick. Something's got to be wrong with you. You know, so that sends another message. That sends another message, which is that if you are smoking it, then something's wrong with you. No, nothing's fucking wrong with you, except you are a mortal being faced with the inevitability of old age, disease, and death. And what's wrong with you is the same thing that's wrong with anyone else. And anyone facing that situation, that predicament called human existence, deserves to create whatever mind state that they want via whatever method they want to use. It's your right in this dimension. If you're an adult, there can't be some asshole in a fucking suit telling you the way to feel. And they've tried it before, and they always try it. They try it in different ways. They try it with fucking information. They try to ban books. They burn fucking books. And plants, certain plants, ayahuasca, ibogaine, marijuana, and funguses, they're like books. They have encoded within the experience a field of information that will transform the way that you perceive the universe in the same way that reading a book on birds will transform the way that you see birds. Because now instead of seeing just a bunch of dumbasses flying around, you know their names. In the same way, I don't mean to call birds dumbasses. I think that actually, they're great. But my point is,
they shit all over our delivery cars. we got a big bill and
I love
car wash.
I don't know why I just insulted birds. They're great. What I'm saying is, so the point is, we, regardless of your physical condition, most of us have a mental condition that comes from existing in a world where we've been conditioned by dipshits to believe ridiculous notions. Like, sometimes it's okay to drop bombs on people. There's a ridiculous notion. Here's another ridiculous notion. Sometimes it's okay to arrest a farmer or a flower delivery person and to fucking take their kids away from them and to take all their stuff. Well, that's another ridiculous notion. And if you think that's right, then you are deeply brainwashed and conditioned. And so the whole point is, as human beings, we get to have access to all the information, not just the shit that's written on paper, but the stuff that's written in the very atomic composition of certain plants that have been of massive benefit to the evolution of human society. And everyone knows it.
Absolutely. And to deny that is to deny your, what I feel is my own spiritual experience. So they're denying, even though I don't have a set up religion for this to subscribe to, they're denying my personal religion.
Yes.
And they're also denying the evolution of what I feel my brain is. So without being allowed to take in these plants that could be spiritual to me, that's, as an American, that's denying my religious freedom to explore what is the right religion for me.
Absolutely.
Because again, it's denying the experience of all of the people before us who've taken these plants and said, this is a religious experience for me. On ayahuasca and DMT, over and over, the experience is the same, that people say it was a religious experience.
Yes.
For me. And it changes the way they look at what their personal religion was. So it is the government deciding that I cannot explore my personal religion and the evolution of my mind, because I do feel that humans evolved this way through these different medicinal plants. And that's how we did evolve. And since these are illegal, we can't even have scientists, the smartest people in the world who we need to be investigating this and telling us how did this affect humans before we were talking about legality, when we were just wandering the earth eating mushrooms because we were hungry.
Yes.
You know, but it can't even be explored because these are Schedule I drugs that can't even be investigated. And that's not fair either. They're holding back the evolution of science by not investigating things like DMT and psilocybin. And the in the 60s was when the most testing was done. Well, look what's happened since the 60s in technology. Technology has progressed so much. I mean, we went from the moon to Mars or whatever you want to
totally.
Say.
Totally. We're on the brink of the singularity. Computers are about to fucking wake up. There's more processing speed in our phones than there was in like 17 buildings filled with computers in the
absolutely.
60s.
So to remain at this point in the society and not say we could revisit and have real scientific studies that should be paid for by the government and also announced to the people, not secret, because I'm sure there is some sort secret test done, but they're secret because the results would lead to legalization.
Right.
At least that's my personal feeling. I follow the law. I don't do any psychedelics, but I have when I was in college and,
sure.
and young and evolving. And I do feel that particularly had a very intense effect on my personality. It's made me the good person that I am today. It showed me the way that whatever you want to call it, is it karma? Is it good deeds? I mean, Christians, call it Jesus.
Hare Krishnas call it Krishna.
Whatever
it's known as Allah. It's known as the Om. It's known as the super intelligent love field that all creation emerges from. It's known as the singularity. It's known as the Godhead. There's a million different ways that it shows itself on the planet. It shows itself in movies, art. It shows itself in great fucking sex. It shows itself in all the most beautiful, novel things that exist. And one of the ways that it shows itself, and I think it did it as a form of illiteracy training for the fucking West, because it's like, Jesus Christ, you guys have really lost it. You're so caught up in matter, and here's some LSD. Here, I'm going to give you an atomic blast of information regarding your ego so that you guys can kind of absorb what in the East you're sort of brought up with, the notion of karma, the idea of what goes out comes back, the obvious truth that the most important thing is the experience of love. You know, all these things are what the psychedelic experience has to offer you in the most beautiful way.
Sure.
Generally by loving you. I mean, the best psychedelic experiences that happen, I mean, there are many bad ones I've had, but the really good ones, it's this realization of like, oh, I'm fine. Holy shit, I'm fine. I never did anything wrong. I'm not a bad person. I'm doing the best that I can. And more than that, I'm a perfect manifestation of this incredible flux, this incredible burst of creative energy that's been going on for perhaps ever. I'm this one beautiful blast of this thing, an expansion of this greater intelligence. And as such, I'm connected to everything and we're all doing the best we can.
And how could you say that isn't a religious experience? That for most people would be religious.
It is the root of religious experiences. The other shit that you're not going to find out when you're studying history is the ceremonial use of cannabis in almost all of the world religions. They're not going to tell you that. You're not going to hear that in church. You're not even going to. So it's like you go to church, you've been given a fucking. It's like church is basically, depending on the churches, some of them are incredible, and you don't need psychedelics to access this stuff. You definitely don't. But a lot of churches remind me of going to a campfire, and there's a fucking stack of wood, and everybody's pretending to warm their hands on it. It's like, that shit is not on fire, man. There is no light there. But cannabis and the sacramental, the ceremonial use of psychedelics to communicate with higher states of consciousness, whatever you want to call it, that's like putting a fucking lighter underneath those sticks. So all of a sudden, all the shit that you were reading in the Gospels that seemed ridiculous or incomprehensible or primitive or whatever, suddenly you look at it from a new light and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can hang all the commandments on these. That's from the Gospels. Mm-hmm. Now, man, that is a fucking psychedelic, mind-blowing statement. And if everybody followed that that idea, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Lord your God, this is a primitive, outdated way of saying it. You can call it the fucking programmer. Lord, love the programmer of reality.
Sure.
Or love the sum total of all things that will ever be and have ever been with all your heart, mind, and soul. So that means just think of the feeling of love. You know, there's no greater feeling than that in the world. Like, if you're ever in love, there's no better feeling than that. So imagine transferring that feeling to everything.
Sure.
Shit. If you could do that, you would be in paradise. And then the obvious result would be, how are you going to be an asshole to anyone around you? Now, an understanding of like that statement is very much enhanced with a nice psychedelic or just getting stoned. You can spend a long time just thinking about that one simple idea. So anyway, sorry for the little rambling rant. My point is, it's not a question of whether or not these experiences are religious experiences. I think religious is the wrong word because it actually reduces the experience. It compartmentalizes it into a form of compartmentalizes into a symbol system, which is all religion is. This is much bigger than religion. This is the seed that religion grows from, but it's certainly not fucking religion. So yes, it's a religious experience, and yes, it's our goddamn right as free Americans to have that experience.
Yeah, and to go off of what you're just saying there, the reason I keep having to say religious experience is because I have to put it into the box that the government wants to say is illegal or not illegal, and the only thing that you could do is follow what the government says, and they say that we should have our own freedom of religion. So I have to follow that,
right,
to try and argue what should be,
right,
you know, even though that's still an argument that the government would shoot down.
Yes, it would. And that's been going on for a long fucking time, man. It's like there's always some form of witch burning. There's always some form of persecution of people that are getting a little too close to nature because they don't, a lot of, for whatever reason, there seems to be a group of people that aren't really fond of us having a nice relationship with the earth. I don't know what that is. They seem to want to get in between that. They're cock blockers, essentially. They're cock blocking us from having the most incredible love affair that could ever happen, which is a love affair with nature or with life. They don't want that. And they're always trying to stop it. And it's been going on for a really long time. But maybe now, you know, because of technology and because of the connectivity that technology offers us, people can organize, which is why these fucking dispensaries have got to get petitions absentee voter sheets in right. The fucking dispense. Someone's got to organize that.
You know, it's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I'm not sure how that happens with the city council. So this next vote in March is going to be one that comes up for the LA City Council. So I don't know if they have absentee ballots for that. And if they do, is the government paying the postage on it? Because it is a government, because that's your right as an American. So they should be paying the postage on that.
Right.
Because if I can't vote, then you're taking away my American right just because I can't afford a stamp. And then that's, you know, probably skewed to racism.
Sure.
or not including the poor. So I think it should be something that we could get into dispensaries, have people sign up for absentee ballots, and have them just have to fill it out and put it in their mailbox without even putting a stamp on it. They should be allowed to vote that way. They're Americans. They should be allowed to have their voices heard.
Someone figure that out and then contact me, and then I'll talk to you, and we'll figure out a way to fucking do it. Because this is the classic situation where if you see someone like on the sidewalk who's hurt, everyone's just going to walk by.
If this could be done, I could get it into most places in LA, specifically because of all the media that we do and the connections that I have with the different dispensary owners. You know, it just because there are a lot, we're still a small community, and most of us know each other. You know, I don't look at it as a competition. I'm not here to worry about competitors.
Right.
Competitors don't mean anything to us. It's there's plenty for everyone, and everyone should share.
Yeah, and if you guys want to fight like fucking pit bulls, then do it after this shit gets passed so that it doesn't get shut down. I mean, that's the main thing. If you want to, like, be Donald Trumps to each other, fine. We're in a capitalistic society. I guess that's going to happen, but with some of you. But if everyone doesn't like get together now for this thing, then the whole thing's just gone anyway. The whole thing just peters out.
Absolutely. You know, and again, that's one of the things that is, I feel, a problem in the industry. Some people see it as competition. This place versus this place versus this place. I don't see it that way. There are plenty of medical marijuana users. I'll always have my patient base because they like what we do, the medication that we bring and the service that we offer. as far as other delivery services that want to, you know, be haters or try and put you down or anything, we just look at it as, you know, the lion is not concerned with the fly. We just keep doing the good work that we're doing.
Sure.
And, you know, we're happy that not only do we have patients all over L.A. that are satisfied, we also have patients that are out there talking about it. We on Twitter, on Facebook,
right.
In the media that we do on the different podcasts and throughout Hollywood when we sponsor shows, things like that. That's what we want. We want the word out there, and we want everyone to feel this is an environment where we're all friends. We treat our patients like friends and family, and that's what we want from every person. That's from the guy who's a celebrity on down to the blue collar worker who's medicating because they worked all day and their joints are killing them. We treat everyone the same, and
hey, my lack of joints is killing me. So dumb. Sorry.
Well, we can take care of that right now.
Man, I think your business is definitely a model for the future of what this can look like and how fucking cool it could be. So all of you in LA who want to try it out, how can they get in touch with you?
Yep, you could go right to our website at laspeedweed.com or just speedweed.com. It's amazing how many times I have to spell that to people on the telephone. It's speedweed.com. Or you could give us a call at 888-860-8472. And we're open till 4 a.m., which is another reason that we're helping people out, because most places are closed by 8 p.m. And we're still out there when you're getting home and you know, from being out or going out to dinner and you need your medication. We're still going to be there for you. And just like you said, when you go onto our website, we have someone there waiting for you that you could speak with. Everyone that works for me is someone exactly like me. You know, we only believe in good energy down at our office, and we make sure that, you know, we're a happy little cult of medical providers.
We like happy little cults here at the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. And you're super cool. You are, I really respect what you do, and I think you're a humble guy. But I think what you're doing is, as far as I'm concerned, it's revolutionary. Because thank you, man. Because it takes a lot of guts, and a lot of shit can go wrong, and I don't think it will. I don't think it will, and if it does, it'll go wrong for the right reason, which is to make people so outraged that some of the coolest fucking people out there are being harangued and hassled for doing something that is not only harmless but helpful in a really extreme way. So, man, thank you so much for being on this podcast. I really appreciate it, and we'll have you back. And also, anybody out there who has information about absentee ballots or how we can do this, contact me. You can contact LA Speedweed, but contact one of us and we'll try to implement getting these things into dispensaries so the shit doesn't get shut down.
Hey, last one thing I wanted to say is we also try and give back to our patients. You know, we give you $30 of free edibles with every single order. So, you know, people say, oh, delivery service, I could just go in and get my medication. Well, you're getting, say your needs are an eighth of medication a week. Well, you're going to get half that value back in free edibles every time you
gummy
order.
Gummy bears. Delicious gummy bears.
Chocolate-dipped Oreos, chocolate-dipped brownies, chocolate-dipped s'mores, lollipops. We got all sorts of edibles. Go to the website, take a look. Again, they come free with every single order. Again, we try and give back to our patients.
Yeah, they will definitely put you in contact with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Terrence McKenna Christ. Communicate with him, please. And what's your Twitter, by the way? I like your Twitter updates are hilarious.
Yeah, it's at LASpeedweed.com.
So follow LA Speedweed on Twitter. Join up. Lawyers, attorneys, Obama, if you're listening to this, tell us how to do the absentee voter thing at dispensaries. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being on the show.
No, thank you, Duncan.
Okay, so what you're listening to now is what's called Nicaro, which is a song that is sung by shamans during ayahuasca ceremonies. And this was recorded live during an ayahuasca ceremony. And you can get the entire album on iTunes. It's by Don Evangelino Murraye. And he's from the Peruvian Andes, and he's a real shaman, and the album's super cool. It's called Ayahuasca Icaros, El Canto del Tiempo, which I think means the Song of Time. But it's really beautiful, so buy the album and enjoy this awesome song.
Ayahuasca y mamá y taqui taqui muiki. Ayahuasca y mamá y taqui taqui muiki. Chuya chuya jampin puni. Miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Chuya chuya jampin puni. Miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Talaran laran laraira. Alaran laran laraira. La 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 ira, la 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 ira, la 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 ira. Ayahuasca ramping manta, taqui taqui muiki. Ayahuasca ramping manta. Taki taki muiki, chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita, chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Ayahuasca sapin manta, taki taki muiki, ayahuasca sapin manta. Taki taki muiki, chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita, chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Tra la 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 ira, la 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 Ayahuasca son honcito manta, taqui taqui muiki. Ayahuasca son honcito manta, taqui taqui muiki. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Ayahuasca lucerito manta, taqui taqui muiki. Ayahuasca lucerito manta, taqui taqui muiki. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Ta la 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 la. Ayahuasca cogollito manta, taqui taqui muiki. Ayahuasca cogollito manta, taqui taqui muiki. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Tra la 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 la. Ayahuasca cielosito manta, taqui taqui muiki. Ayahuasca cielosito manta, taqui taqui muiki. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Ayahuasca chacrunera, taqui taqui muiki. Ayahuasca chacrunera, taqui taqui muiki. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Ayahuasca ticunera, taqui taqui muiki. Ayahuasca ticunera, taqui taqui muiki. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita. Chuya chuya jampin puni, miski ñuño cuerpo chaita.